Coach P's perspective.
Serve God, work hard, family coaching, play my part. Faith is something that I use every day, game changing moves. Sit back, relax, and listen. Inspiration is my mission. Twitch got your back, Coach 96. We do got your back. PCO be in my brain, CSL is in my veins. Ain't no stopping or no blocking. Heaven's where I aim. In order to succeed, we cannot be lazy. Repping Jesus all the time, and yeah, we're going crazy.
Hey fam and friends, hey, welcome to Coach P's Perspective, where coaching, inspiration, and faith collide. This is your host, Coach Chad Parks, and thank you for joining me today. I'm a college All-American wrestler, coach, and the author of the best-selling book, Game Changing Moves. This background has allowed me to train elite athletes, coaches, and high performers from all walks of life. So if you need a pick-me-up, a kick in the pants, or a coach in your corner, I got you right here on Coach P's Perspective. Let's go. Hey, real quick before we get started, if today's message motivates you, inspires you, moves you into action, then please share this with somebody via social media, text, whatever works for you. You could also give us a rating or review on iTunes. And last but not least, be sure to check out my book, Game Changing Moves, Life Lessons from the Locker Room and Beyond. You can pick it up right now on Amazon or go to my publisher, crosstrainingpublishing.com. All right, y'all, let's jump into today's episode. All right. Hey, welcome to another episode of Coach P's Perspective. I'm pumped, man. Today I have Colby Crank on with us, who is the head wrestling coach for Ottawa University. A little bit of his background, which is an extensive wrestling background, but from right here in Kansas, he's a state champion and then four-time All-American in college, two-time national and finalist, one-time national champion in college, and then has coached at Baker University, Barton College, and then now head coach at Ottawa. So, Colby, man, your wrestling background is huge. It's extensive. I've known you since you were in high school. And thanks for being on, man. You are you're not only an elite wrestler, but you're a phenomenal human being. So I really appreciate you joining us.
I appreciate you having me on. You know, it's appreciate the opportunity for sure.
Yeah, you bet. So, well, let's just start here, man, so we can intro you to people who don't know you and your background. So tell me about, like, where you grew up at, some of the sports you played, and then how you got into wrestling.
Oh, for sure, man. So really, really fortunate. Oddly enough, grew up in Hutchinson, Kansas, which, you know, kind of wouldn't think of as, you know, necessarily just a wrestling hotbed by any means. But I mean, shoot, you know, back when I was coming up, you know, we had, you know, Romero Cotton, Kendrick Maple, Alden Eisenberg, all kinds of guys that went on to have, you know, incredible amount of success, kind of throughout their careers. So, I was very, very fortunate to kind of grow up, you know, in the area that I did. I started wrestling when I was 5 years old. Like I said, I kind of played, I think, about every sport under the sun. I did the whole, hey, we're going to try, you know, 12 different sports and, you know, see which one you like. I'd like to say it was my choice, to start wrestling, but, you know, I just think I just, one day, you know, my pops, you know, he's like, hey, do you want to go today? You want to go today? And, you know, I was, you know, living out in the country, just wanted to play outside. I didn't, you know, necessarily care what it looked like. And, you know, one day he's like, hey, we're going to wrestling practice. So, ever since then, I kind of fell in love with it. I think the thing that I really enjoyed about it, you know, maybe as opposed to the other sports, is I think there was just kind of a blueprint for what it looks like moving forward, you know, like, 'cause you're going to a kids club practice and you got guys that you're looking up to kind of like they're superheroes that are, you know, maybe you're only in eighth grade, but they're doing the coolest moves you've ever seen and you barely know how to get in a wrestling stance, and you know they're giving you time, and you know you're seeing them do all this stuff, and you know there's a path to, you know, ultimately, you know, where you want to get to. And you know, you're going to t-ball, they're just basically just trying to get you to, you know, stand in a straight line or, you know, do whatever it is. So just kind of just being able to see it, it just felt, you know, it was a really tangible thing, and it was just exciting. So, you know, I continued, you know, with most sports all the way up to about high school. I was kind of part of like the Hutchinson, you know, football kind of dynasty. I was in high school around that time where they won 7 straight, state football titles. And, it was, I think around that time I played football my freshman and sophomore year. And then it was the world's worst cross country runner, my junior and senior year of high school. You know, I started to kind of be like, all right, hey, wrestling, kind of might be my thing here. And, but just, you know, kind of the minds that I was exposed to and the coaching, the resources I had, that, you know, coming up, you know, in Hutchinson was incredible. So, you know, like, you know, with Randy Dreiling, he'll be a Hall of Fame football coach, you know, I got to play under him. Mike Garcia, you know, Hall of Fame, you know, wrestling coach, I got to wrestle for him, you know, and then, you know, Miss Bonds, her two daughters were Division I athletes at KU. And even though I stumped, just the lessons that I took, you know, from her in terms of my mindset and things like that, I got to pull from so many great people athletically that, you know, I feel really, really fortunate to kind of been surrounded by those people coming up, you know, in my athletic journey for sure.
Yeah, it's good. I mean, not only playing multiple sports, but like you were just saying, being exposed to several coaches, right? Every coach is a little different. Every coach has a little different mindset, background, and all those things. Whenever you decide, hey, this is my sport, right? Now wrestling is my sport. It's becoming what I want to do. You can bring in little pieces of each of those into it, and it kind of forms who you are as an athlete. So tell me, you know, when you get done, and again, you are a super successful high school wrestler, you know, in folk style wrestling, freestyle, but what made you decide like, hey, I want to go be a college wrestler? And then tell me a little bit about your college journey.
Yeah. So, that, you know, the college journey, you know, definitely a unique one. The thing that kind of flipped the switch for me is, you know, Romero Cotton was a high school teammate of mine. And man, he was just fortunate enough to take me under his wing. And, you know, that dude, if there was something that you could win, well, I should say wrestling that, but really anywhere, man, that guy was doing it. And, you know, he kind of really, you know, him and his dad, they really kind of helped me grow within the sport. So, you know, all the opportunities he was getting, he tried to bring people with him. He was never conceited or selfish or, you know, kind of arrogant about any of the things that he was accomplishing. He was like, hey, do you want to go to this practice with me? Hey, I got invited to Wichita to practice. Do you want to come? Like, you know, things like that. And so just seeing, you know, having access to somebody at that level at that time, and kind of just understanding that, you know, I want to do the things that he's doing, because he's having so much success, right? Just, you know, follow the leader, having a great mentor, you know, and a friend, in there. And so, and then getting an early, I guess, you know, view of what the recruiting process looks like too, and saying, hey, you know, I'm getting better. Like I'm getting here. I'm putting in this time in the summer. I didn't wrestle any freestyle, until my freshman year in high school. You know, I wish I would have figured it out a little bit sooner and things like that, but it was all because he was going to do, you know, the Fargo series. And so, wrestling really got put on my radar kind of through him. And then obviously, you know, with Mike being involved in, Garcia, you know, with Team Kansas, you know, I had access to, you know, all those things. And so really just becoming informed, you know, pretty early on into my college career and having a little bit of success. I was a state runner up as a freshman and, top three, you know, that second year. And it kind of just felt natural. And then I really wanted, you know, I was like, well, hey, I didn't do enough. I need to do more. I need this. You know, I want to win. I want to be a state champ, you know, things like that. So, you know, really kind of shifted my focus, you know, in high school. In terms of college, you know, I started out at Fort Hays State University, you know, with a red shirt. I didn't have, you know, a whole heck of a lot of success. You know, that transition, you know, just in everything, it's just totally different, right, than your high school, you know, career, you know, just in terms of even your practice room, your academics, your responsibilities. And, you know, if it starts going the wrong way, it can eat you up pretty quick. So, you know, I ended up back at Hutchinson Community College, there for a year. And, you know, this is kind of just, you know, a really unique college journey, you know, not in any way, shape or form the way that I wanted to go showcase myself for my coaches or the people that supported me, you know, up there at Hayes, and, you know, didn't meet my expectation. And, you know, I think I was offered a lot of perspective when I went back home. I worked at a sign making company from 6 a.m. till I think 3 p.m. every day. I went to community college, and, you know, I probably use this guy's name a lot throughout this interview, but, you know, Mike Garcia let me back in the room and help coach the high school team. And that was the best thinking part of, you know, every single day. And I, so, you know, it was kind of then I was like, man, like, you know, that wasn't it for me. Right. You know, if this is what it looks like without wrestling, you know, I need that back. I need that purpose. I need that drive. I need, you know, everything that, you know, wrestling can really kind of deliver and provide for you. And, you know, it was around that time that the program in Lynchburg started up, and, Cody Garcia is Mike's son. I'm sure everybody knows. Was going to kind of come on with Jacob Mars straight out of the UNO dynasty. And it just kind of felt like the stars aligned for me a little bit. And, You know, just so grateful to have the opportunity to get back to doing something that I loved. And, you know, so as part of the kind of the inaugural, you know, season of that program. So I was, you know, first All-American there in program history that first year. So it was, you know, All-American three times over there at Bethany, wrestled for a national title at Bethany. Dealt with a few injuries here and there, you know, racked up a couple surgeries, things like that. Going into my senior year, Cody got offered the job at Baker, chose to follow him there. You know, we'd kind of gone through so much together, and I just knew kind of what he meant in my journey. And, you know, I didn't know that anything was guaranteed necessarily, but, you know, it's wrestling so relationship driven, and he'd been in my corner every step of the way, and we'd gotten so close. And I just knew, you know, regardless of the outcome, when it came time to cross the finish line, like, you know, that's who I wanted to do it with. So, you know, I ended up following Cody over there to Baker, which was, you know, one of the, you know, best decisions, you know, I've ever made. You know, I feel like, you know, got to make a ton of new friendships. You know, it was just exciting. It was a new room, you know, new, almost relit the fire, you know, for me a little bit. And that's the year I really feel like, you know, we kind of turned the corner there. I think we were top six in the country, had a couple All-Americans, you know, two national champs. And it was just really, really awesome way to, you know, kind of end in the career. And so, you know, just kind of that roundabout journey of, you know, kind of failing, you know, falling flat on my face and getting back to it and really feeling, not even exaggerating, that wrestling gave me my life back. You know, really, I felt like I knew exactly what my purpose was going to be in life, right? I wanted to be able to provide that same, you know, support or whatever the heck it was that was transformational, you know, for young guys, because I knew what it was like when I did it wrong. So that was really my calling, you know, just kind of my shortcomings, you know, and you know, kind of what that staff and what that place and, you know, what a second chance provided me, man. I think it really, really spoke to me, and that's just kind of, you know, my purpose, you know, within this profession.
Yeah, you know, one of my college coaches, Coach Thompson, he said, I wish I could take every high school wrestler and, you know, maybe before they get to college, or maybe let them wrestle a year in college and then have a year off,
yeah,
and be a coach, then come back and compete as a wrestler. He said it would be totally different, right? So you see it from a different perspective. You actually become a better wrestler, like when you start coaching, right? You become a better wrestler. But it's not the ideal journey, like you said, that everybody wants to be on. But you got to see that perspective. You come back, you know, you were with Coach Garcia getting to help coach. I'm sure that probably relit your fire a little bit. And then you go in, and now you're competing and you're rolling. And then you get to be with his son, you know, Cody, who is a phenomenal coach and wrestler himself. I like hearing that, because sometimes people see like, oh man, Colby Crank's a national champion, but they don't know the backstory. They don't know everything it took to get there. You know, the lessons that you learned along the way, the dedication, the, hey, I'm not happy with this. And it's funny, because I have two of my really good wrestlers right now who I don't think they've missed a training with me since they were eighth graders. And they're not training with us this summer. They're doing some evening workouts in another place where we send a lot of our kids, but their dads made them get jobs, physical labor jobs. They're going to be seniors, and these kids are hammers. They're going to be college wrestlers, because their dad said, and I've had several dads talk about this, who are blue collar workers and work with their hands every single day. And they just say, I just want my son to have an opportunity to not do this, right? If they want to do this, cool, but to not do this. So they want them to experience having to get out and work all day long with your hands and be exhausted and come home, in hopes that they'll actually want to go to college and get a job or have an opportunity to get a job that is not working with their hands all the time, unless it's what they want to do, which I think is a great thing. So I grew up working, you know, my dad, we painted houses, we cut grass, we did landscaping. So outdoors all day long, plus getting into wrestling practices. So I know it's tough, man. So it's great that you have those multiple perspectives right there. Now, tell me about this. At what point, whenever you were competing, were you like, and you kind of mentioned it, but hey, I think I know what I want to do with my future. I want to be a coach. And you had some great coaches that impacted you, but when did you know that that's what you wanted to do?
You know, I think it was probably, you know, oddly enough, it might've been before, you know, even any of the competition started, just because it just was, I feel like it's just such an effective way to reach people, because you're joining something where you care about the exact same thing, right? There's already a built-in trust. There's just a comfort level, you know, with a coach. And I was, like I said, man, like when I say I was down, I was down and out, you know, and it's a tough thing to, you know, grasp when you're a young guy and you had the, you know, feel like you had the world at your fingertips or whatever the heck it is, you know, you're won a state title, you had a, you know, great GPA, whatever the heck it is. It was wrestling at the biggest division you could, you know, within your state. You know, I'm kind of a, like a homebody, you know, I wanted to be here. So, you know, I was going to wrestle in Kansas some way, shape or form, you know, regardless. And, you know, that's just, you know, a hard thing to, you know, trust somebody enough to be able to build you back up and kind of see through you and, you know, kind of have that trust that there's not going to be any judgment or, you know, stuff like that. So really, I think it was just, you know, on my rebound of, you know, saying like, hey, I just want to wrestle again. And, you know, I was talking with, you know, Coach Mars and, you know, Coach Cody and, you know, Mike, you know, that whole time. I was like, man, like, this is it. You know, this is just something like, I want to be able to, you know, do that for people. So and it wasn't even necessarily anything competitive. I think it was just being built back up, you know, before we even got the ball rolling. And I think that really correlated into the success that I did have that second time in college. It's like, I would have done anything to pay those guys back, right? I don't know if I was the most talented or what the heck, you know, whatever you need to win. I just there wasn't another option, you know, like you guys worked that hard for me. Like I'm going to give you whatever, you know, ounce of effort or energy or whatever the heck that I have left or, you know, can give. So, I just think that just really just building that trust and things like that, it's just brought the best out of me competitively. I hope made me a better person. And then I just kind of hope to pass that down. But that really, really relit my fire. And I think going back into that second stint, I think, in, you know, at least in the back of my head, I knew that's probably the direction that I wanted to head.
Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, I know there are people out there, athletes out there that are successful that maybe don't wrestle for coaches that they love or coaches, or, you know, maybe the culture is not what they would like or whatever. And somehow they're still successful. But being someone who's also wrestled for multiple colleges and kind of had a journey where I was moving around different things, I can tell you what, man, whenever you have a solid bond or relationship with your coach, you love them, you know, they love you. There's an extra effort. There's an extra amount of want. I mean, I remember being in college and wrestling for Coach Thompson and like, I didn't necessarily want to win because I want to win. I mean, I'm competitive, right? So I like to win. But there was this thing about like, I wanted to make Coach Thompson happy. I wanted to make Coach Thompson, like, I want to do it for him because I know how much he poured into me and how much he poured into our team. So if you lose, it was a little extra sting, like not just for you and your own ego and pride, but like you let your coach down, man. So, and they probably didn't even like, they weren't worried about it, you know, but for you, like when you have that relationship. So it's really cool to wrestle and compete for somebody that you highly respect and care about and, you know, truly cares about you.
100%. That's what we talk about it a lot. Like if you turn a corner competitively and personally, when you approach things more selflessly, because, you know, I think we've all been there where, you know, we're probably willing to let ourselves down every once in a while, right? Like, I don't need to go hit that work. I can sleep in or I can, but, you know, it's just a lot harder to let somebody else down, right? And, you know, that you feel is counting on you or cares about you or kind of does all those things. So really, once you kind of shift your perspective to, it's not a me thing, you know, it's just, you know, it's pouring into everybody else. It's so much harder to give anything less than that. And, you know, like whether, you know, we were having success on a duel or whatever the heck it was, is like, I remember being on the road, I was like, I don't know if we're going to win this duel or not, but I'm taking something home with me, right? Like, you know, I'm going to go get, you know, something and bring it home. And just having that perspective, kind of being your brother's keeper and things like that. I mean, it's just so huge in wrestling that feels like an individual sport, man, but I would have never even touched any of the stuff I touched without, you know, great teammates and coaches. Way more difficult that way, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Our sport, and maybe people don't know unless they're doing it, but it's super unique in that it's individual and team at the same time. It truly is, momentum wise and everything, you know. It's, and you can see that like as a coach in the dual meet, you know, the momentum, even though each guy's wrestling their own match, like you have a couple kids come out and upset somebody or win when they're supposed to win. And just that positive momentum gets rolling, or you have one of your studs that gets beat and all of a sudden maybe a negative momentum gets rolling and you got to get everybody out of that funk. I mean, it's crazy how tight wrestling is and how much of a team and family you become. But so, okay. So let's jump a little bit into your coaching journey. All right. And, you know, you coached at a couple different places, so you're able to be a coach at Baker. And we kind of talked about this before we started recording. Assistant coaches are vital in our program. I'll let you talk about that here in a little bit. But whenever you're an assistant coach, and I was an assistant coach for, you know, a few years before I became a head coach, and even though you have a lot of things you get to do, it's fun because, like, you're finding some individuals, you're creating relationships with them, you're working out with them every single day, you're building them up. But being a head coach is a little different because there's just a vast array of responsibilities. So let's kind of jump into, you come to Ottawa, and the program's not where you wanted it to be, you know. So tell me about just taking over Ottawa and then what you guys have done and are doing to build this program.
Yeah. So like I said, I got a chance to kind of coach, you know, at Baker for a year, transitioned over to Barton as an assistant coach, you know, and that was an awesome year, a great group of dudes. And we had coached my first national champ, you know, Cage Sander, had a couple All-Americans, you know, Gage Gomez and David Kelly, who were actually pulling out of retirement, you know, finished up in the Marines. So I'm really excited to be kind of having, you know, him back. But that was a really important year for me. Just because it's just a leap of faith. Like I said, I had that idea that I wanted to be a coach, but I felt like I needed to be able to go kind of blaze my trail. Like I said, you know, Cody's an incredible coach. Baker's an incredible place. I just needed to go show myself that I could do it, right? Because, you know, if I failed, it's a huge safety net, you know, for me to be there, right? Because he's going to get it done, right? So wanted to prove something to myself there. So you know, being around those guys and watching them accomplish things, and you know, I've listened to your podcast a bunch, and I really relate to what you said. I mean, I think I was 10 times more excited when Cade won a national title than I was when I won one. Yeah. It just felt like it was awesome, right? And I just know what that means. I know what it meant for me. And so to have somebody that I really poured into and cared about and, you know, go achieve that same thing, it was one of the most incredible, you know, indescribable feelings, you know, ever. So it really was, you know, everything that I wanted to be, you know, show myself something. And I was fortunate enough to be offered this position after a year over at Barton. Kind of got a late start, didn't get a start until about June. I remember, you know, in my interview, they kind of just printed off the sports information sheet, and I think there was, you know, 25, 26 names on it or something along those lines. And like, I don't know everybody on here, but I'm sure, you know, good starting point or something to work with. And, you know, I start the job, I start making some phone calls and like, oh, hey coach, yeah, man, I'm not coming back. Or, hey coach, yeah, I haven't been there since November. And I start calling down this list. I'm like, uh-oh, like what, you know, is going on? And I think we got down to the bottom of that list. So about a month and a half before school started, I think we were sitting, you know, right around six athletes, you know, and you need 12, you know, obviously to have a lineup, you know, but I wanted to, you know, show, you know, the university, the community, and, you know, myself that they made a decision. You know, I just wanted an opportunity, you know, to kind of be, you know, in the seat that I'm in now. And, you know, really there was no magic pill. There wasn't anything, man. I just kind of worked my butt off. I lived in a dorm. You know, as I kind of tried to find some housing up here, I was on the phone, you know, kind of nonstop. And, you know, really we had a team banquet, and, you know, I posted on our social media all the time. We had a, you know, fortunate enough to get a couple of the guys in and have a couple of the guys stick around, that were a part of it that first year. You know, they took a chance on us when they probably had no business, you know, doing so. You know, and, you know, I went to the coaching academy, and I think one thing Spade said, that really stuck with me. He's like, you're either selling what is or what's going to be. And just kind of just having some belief in the fact that we were going to get it right. And, you know, those guys, you know, they deserve every ounce of credit, you know, kind of for where we're at today. Is, you know, guys like Ryan Delforge, you know, Jack Arena, you know, guys that came in late, you know, Chance Schooler, you know, our national qualifiers, you know, in that first year that chose us when there were other options on the table. I mean, they deserve every ounce of credit, you know, kind of for, you know, it's kind of raising the expectation, you know, this place kind of just, you know, paving the path for that. So in terms of kind of where we're at now, you know, first year, I was talking about like drinking through a fire hose, man, like it's really, really tough. wouldn't want to go do it again, but I'm really glad that I got to, you know, I learned a lot. And so just really just trying to stack, man, just one day at a time, and bringing the right people, getting the right guys on the bus. And you know, more times, the more years, the more classes we can stack together, it's just, you know, we're inching closer and closer to, you know, ultimately where we want to be, which is, you know, going to be one of the best teams in the country. So, and I'm a stubborn dude. So one way or the other, you know, we're going to figure it out and make it happen. But just hard work, man. And just being surrounded by a great support system. And, you know, that just the crew that we have in here, man, I love what I do. It's not because of the results. It's because I get to enjoy the people I get to be around, you know, every single day. So it's a testament to all the people that kind of poured into this thing over time, and, you know, not just myself. So.
Yeah. And, you know, you're really humble. So I'll brag on you real quick. You know, you guys are doing a good job. And I was saying before we started recording, like, okay, I'm from Oklahoma. Broken Arrow, Oklahoma is a top 20 team in the nation. And, you know, you guys you've signed several kids now coming in from Broken Arrow, and you guys are doing the thing, man. Like, every time I look on your, first off, you guys do social media very well, which is great. It's an absolute must. It's not even negotiable these days, right? You got to do it well, but you guys are signing some hammers. You guys are building and bringing in the kind of kids that you want. Now, in talking about that, you know, you could come to college with 3 or 4 state championships. You could come in and be a hammer in your room and not make it. I mean, you might not, you know, it happens constantly. Guys come in, they're hammers, and then within a year, they're gone for various reasons. But you're bringing in the kind of kids that you want to build your culture. So tell me a little bit about that. Like, for you, expectations as a head coach, whenever you're conveying those to your team, the things you and your assistant coaches have sat down and discussed, what are some of the pillars of the culture? Like, what are some of the things that you guys try to make sure you implement into your program?
Yeah. So, I think the one thing is, you know, I think it's the easiest thing in the world to say, right? It's all so simple, you know, just caring, just being great at everything that requires zero talent, right? Everybody can be on time. Everybody can control their effort. Everybody can control their fight, you know, all those things. And, you know, I think it's all encompassing. So obviously, you know, academics, things like that, you don't get a, you know, flip effort on and off, right? You know, if you only care about, you know, what guy shows up on Saturday, you know, who are you the other 6 days of the week, right? So just somebody that just approaches, you know, life intentionally, right? And then just is, you know, and we talk about it a lot too. It doesn't, I think last year and up to this point is, you know, we had 2 state champions out of 40 athletes on our roster to kind of get, you know, where we were at. So, you know, it wasn't just this blue chip roster where, you know, it would have been really, really hard to mess up or anything out like that. It's just, it was just all effort, passion, and belief, man. And so really just people that are excited and passionate about wrestling, because you know how long this season is, you know how big of a grind can get, you know, somebody's girlfriend might bum them out or something, you know, just whatever that is, you know, just being able to, you know, approach, you know, just drive through failure with enthusiasm, right? You shouldn't be content. You shouldn't be happy loss. You shouldn't be indifferent about it. But I mean, you should, you know, want to get back hungrier. That should, you know, light your fire further. Just things like that. Just, you know, how do you handle adversity? Like, you know, how do you handle the things that don't require talent? You know, that's really ultimately what we're looking for, because I think, you know, college is a great equalizer, man. If you want to eat right, sleep right, train hard, do extra work, the season's so long. It's such a great, that stuff is going to matter every single time. So just the right character is going to win so many times over in college, right? So it's finding the right guy. So I've watched matches where the kid got beat by 8 points and I wanted the kid that lost, because the other kid was just hanging on and trying to survive it. The other guy, as a dog, like, he didn't care that he was, you know, he threw the last punch. Like, I want that guy, you know, just the dude that's just got, you know, a lot of fight in him. So it's not all results driven. And if you have it all, great, right? But there's a whole lot more to it than, like you said, simply just a medal or a plaque or a, you know, just a shiny number by your name or something. You know, there's a whole lot more that, you know, ultimately is going to go into it.
Yeah. You know, as you were saying that, I was just thinking, you know, and I love this quote, but, you know, when it comes down to 2 great athletes, it's lifestyle versus lifestyle.
Yeah.
You know, so both of you got wrestling talent, you know, hopefully you're doing the right thing in the classroom, you know, but really it's lifestyle versus lifestyle. So like you said, who's eating well, who's sleeping well, who's keeping the effort turned on all the time in every area, you know? And so who's got that fight? Who's got that dog in them? It's lifestyle versus lifestyle. And if you're not living right, some people are just freaks, man. They're just freak athletes and they cannot live right and still come in and win. And But those guys are kind of few and far between. Most people are going to have to do the right things. At the college level, like you said, it's a great equalizer. In high school, you could just be a better athlete, or maybe you're a grown man by the time you're a junior in high school, and to your wrestling guys who aren't. But in college, everyone there is pretty dang good. They're all pretty grown. So it's going to have to be all those little things. You've mentioned it a couple of times, relationships, you know, with your coach. So as coaches, what are some of the things that you guys do to build relationships with your athletes?
Transparency for me, right? Like, I think there's something to be said just, for just being kind of, you know, vulnerable about things, to say like, hey, it is hard. Right. I struggled, like this happened to me, right? Like I won a national title, but you know, I had doubt. I had, you know, injuries. I had things that I got pinned at my regional tournament. I got pinned 2 weeks before I went to a national, you know, it wasn't easy, right? Like the, you know, the great ones, it's not supposed to be. And so, really just saying, you know, providing, you know, a bridge of communication to those guys where they don't feel dumb for struggling, right? I mean, it's supposed to be hard. And then they need to see somebody that's done it. You know, it just show that understanding and show that, you know, my journey was really sneaking similar. So you're right on track. Right. And, really we just encourage, the same thing from our athletes, because, you know, if it's something you bottle up, if it's something you snowball, and you know, you don't get to have that conversation until it's too late, man, there's only so many things you can do. So, you know, really kind of try to keep a pulse on our team. You know, if I turn the camera around, we have a Nintendo 64 and all, you know, we got NFL, blitz in here and all kinds of stuff. So we have an open door policy all the time, man. So people come in here and talk about everything other than wrestling. Right. So, I care about these dudes more than, you know, getting their hand raised. I want to see them get exactly what they want out of life, get exactly what they want walking out of the door, with a degree. So, just showing interest in everything else. You know, we have 16, 17 different states on our team, man. It's like, you know, how's your family? Right. You know, are you homesick? Just a million little things. It's just self-awareness as a coach. Like I'm getting older, but you know, it doesn't feel like that long ago. Like I remember what was tough for me. Right. And so, you know, just kind of make sure we're doing, you know, checking in, being available, as much as possible. And, you know, I think, like I said, I was fortunate enough to have a coach that was just easy to talk to. And, I think one big component is actually listening too. Right. So, comprehending, understanding, you know, you got 40 different athletes, it's 40 different personalities, and it's not gonna be a one size fits all thing. So, not being stubborn about the process and trying to attack each problem and individual, kind of specifically, kind of for what they need as well.
Yeah. I love that. I mean, cause I think sometimes people, and I probably see this more at the high school level than the college level, but people try to take their program and make it like this cookie cutter, and you got to fit everybody inside that box. It's not that way. Like you said, you got 40 people, you got 40 different personalities. Doesn't mean you don't have some standards that you hold everybody to, right? But sometimes there's some real individual situations that you got to figure out, and hey, this doesn't necessarily fit in the box, and I got to figure out, like, you know, this kid doesn't have a place to sleep right now, or something just happened in his family, you know, and so we're trying to figure out how to work with him and still keep him to be a great wrestler and those type of things, you know. So you mentioned earlier, you got the Xbox in there, you know, you got gaming and stuff, which I love hearing that, because we all know, like, to be a great athlete, I don't care what sport it is, but you're going to have to be in the weight room. You're going to have to practice. You got to learn your technique. You know, we kind of mentioned earlier, you got to eat well, you got to sleep well, you got to do all these things. I think an area that's often overlooked is like having a hobby or having some fun, having some rest and recovery time, thinking about anything other than your sport. Sometimes you got to do that. Let's kind of go back to your days as an athlete, and then maybe now what you've learned becoming a coach. But what are some of the things that you did, or if you were talking individually, if I was one of your athletes right now and you're like, hey, here are some of the things that you need to do to achieve your goals, to be an All-American, to be a national champion, whatever, here's what I suggest. And it could be weightlifting, could be those things, but what are some of the things that you did as an athlete, working wise and chilling wise, right? What are some of the things that you did to win a national title?
So yeah, that's a great question. So, you know, one, I think, you know, surround yourself with like-minded people, right? Just who you're surrounding yourself with is everything. Cause you're trying to get something, you know, that you never had before. You know, you're trying to, You know, you need sustained belief, confidence, commitment, these things. And if you have, you know, other people kind of pulling in the same direction as you, it makes it that much easier, right? So if you're having a day down, you got somebody to pick you up. So just, you know, be really, really aware of who you're spending the most time around and what you're consuming, right? Are you staying up till 2 a.m., you know, playing a video game, or are you watching, you know, stuff on your phone? You know, you need to put things away. So the biggest two difference makers for me were my rest and my nutrition. So, and if I knew I struggled, you know, with something, or if I knew something, for me, it was really, really simple. I was either getting better or I was getting worse. And those, there was two options. There were two ways to go. So it made every choice pretty easy, right? So if I knew I was going to watch Netflix too much or something like that, I remember my senior year of college, I gave my roommate, Jonathan Blackwell, he'd tell you that from Bonner, I gave him my Xbox and my TV. So I didn't have any of that in my room for the entire year. Just things like that, you know, and I'm not saying that made all the difference in the world, but it meant something to me, right? I was willing to give up something that I felt other people probably weren't. And for me, that meant something. And so falling into a routine, you know, that's hugely important. So whether I wanted to or not, I knew what every day was probably going to look like, right? I was going to get up at 6 a.m. I was going to do my my rehab on my shoulder. I was going to get 20, 30 minutes of cardio in. I'm going to get my day started before my first class every single day. Even if like I was not feeling it, rolling out of bed, hurting, doesn't matter, right? I made a commitment. So that was huge. You know, I know there's a quote like that somewhere along the way is, you know, this commitment is just, you know, sticking to, you know, what you agreed to long after the motivation's gone, right? Because there's going to be tough days, but you just do it anyway. So being consistent, having a routine, that's huge. In terms of getting away from it, this is probably where this might be a different answer than a lot of people would. I sucked at that. I loved it. I could not turn it off. You know what I mean? It was so hard. It meant so much. So passionate about it. The thing that I would say, if you're anything like me, just keep in mind whatever you're doing. You can think about it, but just make sure they're good thoughts. You're thinking about getting your hand raised in a big moment. You're thinking about your next home duel and, you know, how cool you're going to look in front of the crowd. Just whatever the heck it is. Something positive. You hit in a big move. So, you know, you talk to yourself more than anybody else. So just make sure the things you're telling yourself are pretty stinking positive. So if you're sitting there and you're high strung and you feel like there's something to lose and you're worried all the time, terrible, terrible, incredibly detrimental. But, right, if it's all positive affirmations and belief and things like that, man, it's, I think it's okay. You know, you don't want to get too wound up, but if you can't turn it off, make sure it's positive. That'd be the one piece of advice that I'd give there.
That's great advice. I was the same way. I'm not a person who was able to turn it off easy. Sometimes I look back and I'm like, I wish I would have had some other hobbies or things like that. But even then, I think it's so important. You know, a lot of athletes that I'm working with, and I got some athletes up in Fargo right now who I do some mindset training with from different states. And I was just talking to one yesterday. I'm like, hey, you know, they're up there and they're working out a couple times a day. He's got to get his weight down. Then he'll compete this weekend. And so in between practices, man, or like when you very first wake up, go outside barefooted, no shirt on, just get a little sun, get your feet on the grass, you know, get those senses about you in between practices. Of course, people are going to lay around on their phones or whatever, but again, get outside, go sit under a shade tree, man, just sit there and breathe for a little bit, like doing little things that help your wrestling, but you're not necessarily thinking about wrestling in that moment, but you know that they're helping you become a better athlete because you could get high strung real easy in this sport and begin to have those negative thoughts instead of positive thoughts, like you were saying. So everything we're doing is maybe you're getting away from it, but it's all still because there's a wrestling benefit to it to help you reach your goal, you know, initially or eventually, but it's not always easy to do. So I like that you said you couldn't turn it off, but you made sure that when it was on, it was good stuff.
The one thing I say, now that you say that, the one thing I would say, like in competitions, one thing that I found out, if you're like incredibly invested as a coach, like that's the most exhausting feeling, but Saturday night after wrestling tournament, that's like a different level of tired, right? Or like this Sunday after, it's just, you know, you're just riding that roller coaster emotionally. So if you're one of those guys that's finding yourself getting so invested in your teammates, you know, at our national tournament, you know, I watched Wake right before me, or kind of running along, you know, the front side together and stuff like that. And I'd watch his first couple matches and I'd go into my match, my heart rate was already up. And so the deeper we got, man, I was just in the back, right? It didn't mean I didn't care. Being so, it was just one of those things. It's like, hey, man, I believe this guy's going to get it done. I can't, you know what I mean, wrestle that match with him every single time. So You know, if you have to go in the stands, if you have to go outside, if you have to take your wrestling shoes off, if that's what you need for your process to kind of get, you know, like I said, out of that state of mind. Because if you're on your feet for 10 hours a day and you watch every stinking kid's match and you got a match, you know, an hour down the way, that's going to be a pretty long stinking day. So allowing yourself to be what – it doesn't mean you're any less invested or a good teammate, right? If you have to step away, remove yourself, whatever that is in competition, right? So you've kind of done your part in the practice room. They know you're there. They know you want the best for them, things like that. You don't have to – stand right next to the mat and, you know, get your heart rate just spiked and freak out with them. So that is one thing that helped me a little bit.
No, that's huge. That's yeah. I learned that thankfully when I was junior, senior in high school, I figured it out. And something I talked to my athletes about, you know, if we're in a dual meet, you know, we talked to them about not wrestling every match with the guy. And so once you're done wrestling and you've done your job for the team, dude, now be the best cheerleader in the world. You know, but up to then, you have a job to do. Same thing at a tournament, you know. So like you said, it's not like you're not supporting your teammates, but you got to know you, man. If you're getting hyped and worn out watching their matches emotionally, mentally, physically, sometimes you got to remove yourself from the situation so that you can come back and do your job and wrestle really well. But so that's absolutely great advice. All right. So what, as a coach, what are the things that you do, your personal growth habits now? So, and I'm going to lump some things in this category, maybe a morning routine that you do. Maybe it's a, you know, you do X amount of reading. You're gotta, you know, I got to work out 4 days a week or whatever. What are some of the things that you do as a coach? These are daily non-negotiable habits to be my best as a coach.
Yeah. So, you know, I wake up early because I, you know, I doubt anybody's going to come knocking on my door at, you know, six or more stuff like that. So, you know, I do the hardest part of my day first. It's stuff that I absolutely have to do, non-negotiable, this is done. So that way my day can turn left, right, and anywhere in between. Cause you know how it is with coaching. You can have a plan for your day, but there's no point, right? It's, every day is going to look a little bit different. So, you know, I do that first. And then, you know, really, I try to continue to be a student of the sport. Like I'm really big in, I have one of my degrees is in psychology. So I just consume as much stuff as possible. Like we're living in an era where you can go into a division one practice and see exactly what they're doing, right? Or you can, you know, hop on your podcast. Like I said, I've listened to, you know, a ton. You had Nick Mitchell on. I made our entire team listen to that podcast. So that's what the best team in the country is doing every single day, right? Like ask yourself, what are you doing? You know, are you that committed? Are you caring that much? Are you doing that? So just being a student, right? You know, of the sport, finding ways to tweak it, you know, and just not being so stubborn that, you know, I'm doing it this way. I'm the, you know, just taking feedback, you know, just kind of trying to always evolve with the sport and things like that. So, you know, that's, you know, wrestling, you know, stuff like that's always huge part of my day. It's obvious, but, you know, just the things that, you know, kind of that self-reflection, the things that I could, you know, be doing better too. You know, and then in terms of kind of like, you know, us working out, you know, things like that, the you spoke to it earlier. You know, as we're getting these guys in, you know, you almost have to lock them out of the wrestling room. So, just making sure that, you know, that is always like a part of my day where, that's a big part of why I do the things that I do in the morning. I want to be as available as possible, for those guys whenever they need it, whether that's like, hey man, like, I just want to figure out one move, one position. Why did I lose it? I'm putting everything else away. Like that guy's my priority, right? Like, you know, just figuring that out. That's my priority. Like, so ultimately, keeping perspective of why I'm doing what I'm doing. I mean, you know, it's for those guys. I had my chance to wrestle. I had my chance to, you know, kind of accomplish things that I want to. And like now I just want to make sure that they have every resource available that they, when it's all said and done and they hang it up, they got exactly what they, you know, needed out of it, you know, from my end too. So those are just things that I'm really intentional about, man. It's just being available, trying to evolve, and then just, you know, trying to stay, I guess, you know, responsible, you know, with my own tasks and knocking those out. You know, they're not necessarily the most fun things in the world, like I said, with your paperwork and, you know, things like that. But I mean, it's part of what you do to get to do what you love to do, right? Yeah. And watch those guys go accomplish some pretty special things. So that's, you know, really about what a day looks like, man. It's hard. No one day really looks the same in coaching, you know, especially at the college level. So.
Yeah. You know, and you said it and it's so true. We're in an era, and I've talked to my athletes about this several times, but we're in a time frame where there's so much information and knowledge available. why wouldn't you take advantage of that? You know, with our athletes, if I'm running practice, I got you 2 hours a day. What are you doing with the other 22 hours? It's super easy to jump on to Flow Wrestling, to jump onto YouTube, to get onto some of those things and watch some incredibly high level matches, to get on and watch instructional and technique. Man, if I want to get better at an ankle pick, if I want to get better at a low level, whatever it is, all I got to do is jump on YouTube and I can type it in and I can find some high level people doing it, right? And I can learn those things. Books, podcasts, audio books, whatever it is, there's so many growth opportunities. So it's like taking advantage of those. And what's cool is like, almost every really high-level person I know, whether they're currently a coach or an athlete or CEO of a company, whatever, they all seem to have this growth mindset. They're never like, I think I know enough. I think I'm good enough. Like, they're just not that way. And they're willing to learn from pretty much anyone and anywhere, you know, which is cool. So I love hearing that you're doing that. Artie, yeah, I know that about you as a person. You know, it's one of the reasons why you were a phenomenal wrestler. And I want to go back real quick. You were talking about Romero Cotton earlier. For those who are listening, maybe don't know who that is. Romero was a 4-time state champion of football for Hutch High. He was a 4-time state champion in wrestling and then played college football for a little bit, was a couple, and then went up to Nebraska Kearney, played some football and wrestled, a couple time national champion, fights in Bellator. The dude's just a phenomenal athlete. But it's really cool to hear what you're saying, that someone who was at the peak of his game as a high school athlete was bringing you along with every opportunity that was being afforded to him, you know? So as a teammate, that's a great thing to do. As someone who's looking up to a teammate, it's a great thing to have happen to you. And then now as a coach, you're the one who gets to provide so many of those opportunities to your athletes on a consistent basis. Okay. So for the coaches that get to listen, you know, that are out there listening to this. And again, this doesn't just apply to coaching. This could be, maybe you run a business or whatever, but I remember whenever I very first became a head coach, two things kind of jump out of my mind right now. One is what you mentioned, Saturday night or Sunday tiredness as a coach is a whole different level. My dad told me, he was like, first time I was going to coach a tournament, he said, you'll be more tired on Sunday than as a coach than you are as an athlete. And I'm like, whatever, no way. And then on Sunday, you are a zombie. Yeah, you've had the emotional and the adrenaline highs and lows, emotional highs and lows all day long, not just for your matches, but for every single athlete you have, because you're invested in them. It's tough. Now, he also told me this. He said, you make sure that you utilize your assistant coaches. Nobody wants to be an assistant coach and be in a room and not get to do anything. You hired those guys because they have skill sets. Allow them to use their skill sets. So what are some of the things that you do with your assistant coaches so that they can come in and really use their skill sets and complement your program?
I just don't think you can't, you know, put them into a corner. It's the same way that we talked about an athlete, right? Like, you know, maybe, you know, they're great at something that you aren't, and then you have to be okay with that, right? Like, you can't tie your ego into a result. If there's a kid or an athlete or a move or something that, you know, is working better for somebody and that's not the way, or that you would have done it or approached it or something like that, like, you know, you don't want to anchor yourself to any form of credit, you know, the people that you're surrounded with. So, like I said, you just got to have some trust and some faith. You know, like I said, you hired them for a reason. I personally, the thing that I would look for, you know, I'll answer any question, you know, have things like that, but I don't want to have to micromanage every single thing, right? Because then it's me doing it myself. I just want people that care as much as I do, and I just want to let them off the leash, right? And come in every once in a while, like, hey, not, you know, that's not how we're doing it. Things like that. But I mean, you really, instead of, like I said, trying to contain them, just throw some gas on that fire. You know, they're a part of it. They want what you want, right? And so just really kind of encourage them. And, you know, ultimately, like, with your assistant staff and things like that, there's probably an ambition of being a head coach at a certain point. And I mean, you know, exposing them to that level, giving them that responsibility. And then the more efficient that they become, the more enthusiastic they are about the things that they're doing. Like I said, I might not be the perfect fit for every single kid on my team, right? I understand, but I want every kid, you know, whether it was a kid that quit the first year, I harbor no ill feeling. Like, I want the best for everybody that stuff's put in my program and things like that. And we have another guy that can reach somebody that I can't, and that's awesome, right? And I don't want to put a lid on that, you know, in any capacity. So, you know, just trust, belief, you know, and just don't try to, you know, if they get to this level of coaching, they've figured something out, they've done something right, and they have, you know, a special ability about them. And you got to let, you know, them continue to do what's made them great, right, in the first place, and what's gotten to this point. So that's really my advice for you, is to say, you know, to have some trust, you know, and when they ask a question or they do something, don't make them feel bad. Like, how do you not know that? Why would you do it that? You know, none of that, right? You know, it's one of those things. You're just kind of fostering development the same way that you would with an athlete. And, you know, I needed that, right? I needed that when I was an assistant baker. I didn't know everything. And if somebody would have made me feel dumb, you're like, man, I might suck at this. This might not be the thing that I want to do. So for me, just finding people that care as much as you do and just freaking, like I said, let them off the leash, man. And I think, you know, good things are going to come from it.
Yeah, I love it, man. Yeah, when I was an assistant coach, I mean, I definitely made some mistakes along the way, but was real fortunate. I had, you know, a head coach, Bo Vest is who I coached under, and a Coach Gonzalez, a student taught under and coached under, and then Bo Vest, a couple of great coaches. And, you know, man, they kind of just turned me loose and let me do my thing. And when I messed up, sometimes they'd pull me aside and like, hey, you know, they'd have a little talk about it, but didn't make me feel dumb, you know. And so, you know, I don't know. I think I'm real fortunate. I was super close with both those guys. And then the coaches I have right now are like my best friends. Now they're not yes men. They'll tell me like, hey, how about we do it this or whatever? And I almost always listen like, cool. Right. Cause they have a different perspective than I did. There are times I might have to be like, you know, hey, here's why we do it this way. And then they'll be like, oh, okay, that makes sense. Yeah. But for the most part, like let them do it. And then something you said, I think is so important. You're not going to have the absolute best relationship or be able to reach every single kid on your team. You're just not. You might love them or like them. They might love you or like you, but maybe they just jive better with another coach than they do with you.
Yeah.
Cool.
That's all I said. Take your ego out of it, man. Like I said, like it's one of those things. Like I said, that you're wearing so many hats too. Like, shoot, if you got one guy that can be there for them, great. You know, that's what they need, you know, and, it's one of those things. It's, you know, just got to be selfless. You know, like I said, we talk about as an athlete, but a coach is just in your approach, and a lot of different ways to get there, man, but we're all going to hopefully get the same finish line. So the way we get there might look a little different, but as long as we get there, you know, that's going to be the important part, you know, for sure, every single time.
Yep. Okay. So when it comes to goals, I'm always torn a little bit. I think we all, like, not all, but most people, you want to win a state championship. You want to win a national championship. You want to be an All-American. You want these things. We all kind of – then you got to have a great system to get there. The system is probably more important than the goal, right? Because if you have a goal but no system, it's just like having a New Year's resolution, and then you just kind of forget about it. But in saying that, I know you guys have systems in place, and you're constantly reevaluating, and you're building those 5 years from now, you know, God willing – You're coaching Ottawa University, you keep getting good recruits, great coaches, you know, where do you see your program? What are some of the, you know, top two or three goals for you guys 5 years down the road?
You know, I think probably the easiest was one of the best teams in the country, right? I want a trophy here every single year. Believe that with my whole heart. We're going to make that happen. You know, and so like I said, just, you know, get the right people in. Nobody else has to believe it, but the people stepping foot on this campus, you know, and, you know, and it starts with me. I have zero doubt in my mind, you know, that's entirely, you know, within our grasp, you know, and that's, you know, number one. But really, you know, wrestling is going to be a vehicle to the things that are really, really important. You know, like I said, the coolest thing for me, which is still really new, because I feel like, you know, I wasn't even long ago, you know, that I graduated, but like, and watch these guys get degrees, like keeping our retention high, making sure these guys are sticking from their freshman year all the way out and doing exactly what they want to do. You know, of our four graduates last year, two are in doctorate programs and two are in getting their master's. So one in mechanical engineering at Kansas State, and another's getting his MBA back in New York. One's going to be a doctor of chiropractic, and the other's going to be a physician's assistant. And just like literally cheering those guys on the same way that I would in a wrestling match. Like that, how cool is that? You know, I'm going to know a chiropractor, you know, like whatever it was. I noticed he was like 18. Just continuing to, you know, we talk about brand a lot and, you know, kind of building our culture. And if we can kind of be a light and we can be relevant and we can win, like, you know, wrestling and success, I mean, that might be the you know, the superficial part that can make us cast a wider net to provide an opportunity that can get other people to all these other great things that our university can provide, right? Like, we'll get the wrestling part, you know, in the grand scheme of things, that's the easy part, right? Like, we're all here because we care about wrestling. I feel like we have a really, really great coaching staff, really, really great people here, really, really great support with our administration. I just want to make sure we're getting the rest right, too. And, you know, we have, you know, a small faith-based institution. We're in a great area, provide a lot of opportunities. But, you know, the thing, you know, I was thinking about it a little bit, the thing that's awesome is you can just watch people grow everywhere in a place like this, just, you know, through relationships with their professors, or maybe it's with their faith, or maybe it's just having access to literally just anything, you know, and everything. And so if we're talking selfishly, I think that's when I look at it. I was like, man, it's like, oh, hey, people are going to pat us on the back. Like, wow, you guys really good wrestling. Like, well, great. I mean, that's always been the plan. I was like, I want to really send people out of here that are going to go be coaches, grow the coaching tree, go spread that message, like just positivity and grow the sport and, you know, all kinds of things like that come with it, man. Just breeding great individuals and fulfilling the thing that they want after wrestling. And, you know, those are the things that are important to me. But we're going to win while we're doing that too, man. I really truly believe it. But
yeah,
there's some stuff there that, you know, just as, you know, if not more important, when I'm looking at it.
Yeah. That's all phenomenal stuff. And I like it because just in what you were saying, like, I know you better now as a coach. I know Ottawa University a little better. Now I'm like, all right, man, I'm sending my guys down there to wrestle for Colby. I'm getting all fired up over here, you know? But at the same time, this is so true. We want all those good things. We have to have them. But, man, it's a lot more fun when you're winning. It just is. Like, losing is not really fun. And I've been on both ends, man. We've had, you know, years where we didn't win a lot. We've had years where we won a whole lot, you know. And consistently we win quite a bit. But it's more fun when you're doing that. But ultimately, there's a lot bigger things out there, like you were just talking about. So I love it that the town of Ottawa and then Ottawa University, you know, you guys have this opportunity and you're completely utilizing it to help, you know, young men and women, because you have a men's and women's program, come in and be more than just wrestlers. You, like you said, be what they want to be. There's some high level people that just graduated, you know, moving out of your program. So, and that's what you want as a coach. It makes you proud of them, you know, seeing them grow and do those type of things. You mentioned brand real quick. And I mentioned social media earlier. So we have a couple of key mottos for our team. TCOB, take care of business. Get, which means gratitude, effort, and toughness. And we say, like, we get to do this, we get it on your mind, those type of things. Those are part of our brand. What's your brand, Ottawa University? Maybe some mottos you guys use or your overall branding.
I mean, just cliche, man, but, you know, just family, man. Like, so I know some people say it, I feel like we mean it, you know, and then just really, you know, legacy, just things like that. You know, we got a chance to do something really, really special. Just in terms of, like, we haven't done a lot of our first yet, right? And we need our first national champ. We need our first four-time All-America. We need, you know, all these things. It's things that are, you know, kind of just really, really motivating, you know, for the individuals and coming into our program. But, you know, in terms of our brand and the things that we're going to stand for, like, I think that's probably the thing I'm most proud of is, you know, we took, you know, a good chunk of our team to our conference tournament. And, like, you know, I'm going down and I'm breaking up film, and all I can see in the background is guys that haven't even wrestled for 2 months are, like, the first people out of their seats. You know what I mean? Act like they just, you know, won that match and stuff. So that's probably the thing that I'm most proud of is the culture that we've, like, creating. Like, I mean, whether it's you or whether it's your teammate or whether it's a guy that you know, helped prepare, only 12 guys get to go be in the fight for us at the end of this thing, right? But there's going to be a lot more of us, you know, pouring into the process. So, understanding, getting everybody pulled in the same direction. I mean, you know, that's kind of what our brand stands for. And, you know, our coaching staff, like I said, you know, we've got Coach Wydell. I mean, he's doing a great job over there. I mean, you know, Coach Layden, you know, I think our entire staff, you know, is under 30, like, you know, just in their first couple years of coaching. And, like, we're just, I think in terms of moving forward, we're also like-minded, enthusiastic, and just excited, you know, to create something special. And we're all, you know, obviously, you know, very competitive, and we want to see that happen. And so, really, that's just kind of what our brand stands for, is love wrestling, love who you're doing it with, and great things are going to come from it.
Excellent. Yeah. And you can't fake emotion, man. People can feel it. They can see through it. And I fully feel your emotion. I know whenever you're talking, man, like you believe everything you're saying. I believe everything you're saying. And that's not something, that's something that's felt, not faked, man. And so I dig that. And I know that your entire coaching staff is that way. You know, you guys are bringing that enthusiasm, that emotion into what you're doing and pouring that into your kids. And because of that, they're just becoming better wrestlers and better human beings. So, all right, brother, as we get ready to kind of end this thing up, the question I always ask all my guests at the end, and you can answer all three or just choose one, expound upon it as much as you want. Tell me about a hero, a highlight, or a hardship in your life. Hero, highlight, or hardship?
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good question, man. You got some good ones. Yeah, man. So, you know, I think probably, you know, answer probably a lot of people give, you know, I'd have to say my pops, you know, so my dad, you know, a tough year. So I lost my dad unexpectedly last September, I believe. So kind of right before this COVID season started, and it was just a swarm of stress and, you know, all kinds of things like that. And, you know, I was just kind of just really, really kind of, you know, tough, you know, thing to navigate for me, you know, personally. And, but it was just truly a blessing. One thing that I kind of was intentional about in my thoughts, I mean, what a blessing to have somebody that you miss that much. That was a part of the journey to this point, man. So I have no doubt in my mind that I wouldn't have, you know, kind of been in this seat, been able to touch lives, been able to have any remote measure of success if it wasn't for him. So, you know, he dragged my butt to my first wrestling practice. And I think the thing that I'm most thankful for of him is he was not stubborn or overbearing in any way. It's like, hey, dude, I'm taking you to this wrestling practice because the coaches are good. How dumb would I be if I tried to tell you what to do, you know, or correct what they're doing? He's like, I sucked, you know, I got qualified for state, you know, one time. So he was totally hands off in terms of putting trust into, you know, kind of me finding, you know, my own way with it. But I always knew he was going to be there, you know, kind of being supportive. And that just bred so much confidence. There wasn't a feel of fear of failure, right, when you know you got people like that in your corner. And so, you know, kind of, you know, in terms of a, you know, hero, hardship, things like that, all kind of blending into one. For a highlight, you know, you got to be with me as I won a state championship, a national championship, you know, a conference championship here, you know, with the team, just all that stuff, you know, took the ride with me, and incredibly grateful I got to share those moments with them. And always present, you know, in my thoughts and my actions and the things that I try to do, you know, incredibly trustworthy, honest dude. The truth is not always easy, but it's the most important thing in the world to hear. And so I'm just kind of being confident enough to be, you know, open, honest, you know, with people, whether it's what they want to hear, what they need to hear, you know, it's the truth, right? And you know that you're going to get that with me every single time. And so, you know, just kind of lessons instilled on me and, you know, big part of, you know, another one of my purposes of coaching. So the last thing that he actually did was, you know, kind of with his donations and the things he did, instead of trying to pay for anything, he said every ounce of money that somebody would give for my cost, he's like, you donate, you know, to my son's program. So in terms of my determination, whatever the heck it is, like, it's going to happen 100%. You know, it meant too much to both of us. So his last act, you know, was to kind of, you know, drive this place even further forward. So, you know, failure's, you know, not an option, you know, on this one. So great dude, meant a lot to me. And really, like I said, I can't pick him enough for, you know, all the opportunities provided me.
Yeah, that's good, man. What a tribute to your dad. What a great man. And, you know, I think about legacy sometimes, and I lost one of my football coaches this year who was my dad's assistant wrestling coach and a real impactful coach in my life. And I was thinking about his legacy, you know, and I was like, man, I think the biggest part of his legacy is us, his athletes, right? What he put into us. So your dad's legacy, man, is you. I mean, like what he put into you and those things that you're still living by, abiding by, and then teaching your team. So it's being paid forward all the time, man. So what a great tribute to your dad, and what a legacy he has left and is continuing to leave. So thanks for sharing that. I appreciate it.
I appreciate that.
Yeah. So, all right. Hey, where can we follow you? Where can we follow Ottawa University of Wrestling on social media?
Let me look. I was going to say, I got about eight stinking. We got a Lady Braves Wrestling on Instagram. If you're a gal wrestler out there, Ottawa_wrestling on Instagram. And then I think Colby Crank 157, if you're on Twitter, or Colby Crank on Facebook. So, you know, obviously follow, we try to update, you know, as much as possible. You know, go on our athletic website. We have questionnaires, my email's on there. You know, try to be really, really responsive to any, inquiries, and just to touch base on that, if you happen to be like a high school senior, don't be afraid is one thing that I think is really kind of misunderstood in the recruiting process. There's so much wrestling that goes on, and the same way he talks about having so much access to information with technique or mindset or whatever, there's so much access to tournaments all over the country now, right? You can probably watch anything online between flow and track. And so just being proactive in your process, right? Because if you're showing interest, we're so much more responsive to that because you've already shown that you're interested in wrestling in college. And you'd be very surprised how many people that are great wrestlers that are just done, right? They don't, have interest in it. Maybe it's a different sport. And you're just leapfrogging yourself through that process of letting us know that college wrestling is something that you're absolutely, intending on doing. So really being proactive in your recruitment is huge if you're a high school junior, senior out there listening.
I'm so glad you said that, because a lot of people don't know. They don't understand the recruiting process. And for me as a coach, I tell my athletes, maybe not all of you want to wrestle in college, but if you do, we want to give you the opportunity, right? So I send out information to several coaches that I know that I have relationships with. I tell the kids, if you like a school, jump onto their website, fill out their information, let that coach know. Once you guys have made some contact, like, bug them every now and then, right? Get in his ear so way he remembers you, because there's a lot of people out there that wrestle. And so make sure they remember you a little bit, So, yeah, so I thank you so much for supplying that, because a lot of people just don't know, right? Mom and dads are listening and like, no college coaches have got a hold of us. We don't know how to do it. And so that's something that is vital.
That's the way I thought. I was like, oh, if you want me, they'll find me, or, they'll talk to me or something like that. And it's just, I didn't know any better, right? And so like I said, it is huge. So like I said, yeah, like I said, you do a great job of that. Even coaches, just be proactive for your athletes is huge. I think that's in terms of like our percentage rate, in terms of like signing, it's all so much more often, it's either the athlete or a coach or a parent, it's kind of spearheading that process for them. So it's always good to be proactive.
Absolutely. So, all right. And I'll make sure I take all the social media links. I'll put them in the show notes for anybody that's listening. If you're a junior or senior, man, I'm telling you what, right now, look at Ottawa University, the men's program, the women's program, got some great coaches, as you heard, got some amazing things going on. And I can attest personally to Colby's character as a human being. I watched him wrestle several times. Dude's a monster, but he's doing, and we've also done a couple clinics together, but he's a great coach, clinician as well. So Colby, again, thanks for being on.
Hey, thanks for having me. I really appreciate the opportunity, man, to share our story a little bit.
Yeah, you bet. So, all right, everybody, been another episode of Coach Pete's Perspective. May God bless you, smile upon you, and give you peace. Until next time, we're out. Hey, I want to give a real quick shout out to my friends over at Terra Grappler. If you've never experienced Terra Grappler wrestling shoes, then you're missing out. You see, Terra Grappler has been re-engineering the standard wrestling shoes for about the last 3 years. Their comfy and stretchy Mataform integrated sock-like layer, it's something you can't live without once you've tried it. I use Terra Grapplers. Zahid Valencia uses Terra Grapplers. And all I got to say is this. There's certainly something different to the feel versus traditional wrestling shoes. And for those of you listening now, you can actually get $10 off a pair of Terra Grappler wrestling shoes by using the code COACHP10. The code is COACHP10. Experience them for yourself. I promise you won't be disappointed.
Podcast complete, now me working overtime. I'm just a vessel for the spirit. When it's in me, then I shine. If the clay gets broken, he makes some whole new pottery. Repent for your sins, tell Satan to stay up off of me. With a new step, CSL rep, pop, lock and rock. Coach P, who never stops.